Campaigners say they'll press ahead with a day of mass action tomorrow against plans for a new coal-fired power station at Kingsnorth. They're threatening to shut down the existing power station on the site by air, land and sea. But it's claimed a river protest can't go ahead because of safety fears. Police say the Medway Harbour Master has refused permission under river bylaws. Assistant Chief Constable Gary Boteridge says action will be taken. Meanwhile, two people who had superglued themselves to the front door of the Royal Bank of Scotland in London this morning have been arrested. The demo was part of the week-long camp for climate action outside Kingsnorth. Meanwhile, several politicians have expressed concerns over policing of the camp. Green Party MEP for the South East, Dr Caroline Lucas, and Liberal Democrat MP for Lewis, Norman Baker, have jointly written to Kent Police calling for action to resolve the increasingly threatening confrontation.
Now, an extension of police powers to stop and search anyone near the climate camp in North Kent is undermining our civil liberties. That from Kent MEP Caroline Lucas. The step's been taken by Kent Police ahead of the planned day of action tomorrow by protesters who are against plans for a new coal-fired power station at Kingsnorth. Police claim they're still finding people carrying items that could be used as weapons, but Caroline Lucas says there's no reasonable grounds for doing this.
I think it is undermining our civil liberties, and at the moment at least there's absolutely no reasonable grounds to be doing that. It's obviously disrupting lives of people all around that area in a very unnecessary way. I would also argue that it's undermining the legitimate right to protest. I've written to the European Commission asking them to look at that. There is a human right to legitimately and peacefully protest, and I think there are times when that is an absolutely right thing to do, and the police seem to be making it impossible for people to carry out that basic right. So I think there are a number of key civil liberty issues here that will need to be looked at.
Well, anyone on the Hoo Peninsula can now be stopped and searched as a war of words grows among the protesters. But Assistant Chief Constable Gary Boteridge says the move's justified. He's been speaking to our Home Affairs correspondent Richard Smith.
It was a decision that was taken not lightly. We didn't want to do this. We have used stop and search, as you're aware, and we've arrested three people during the course of that process with knives. But also, we've stopped other people who've carried implements that could be used as weapons, things such as lumps of wood, axes, chisels, etc. So this decision was taken primarily to protect and safeguard the residents of the Hoo Peninsula, to protect and safeguard the law-abiding overwhelming majority of the protesters, and to protect and safeguard my officers.
What does it mean in practical terms for people moving around the Hoo Peninsula?
For people on the Hoo Peninsula, what it means is that an officer could stop you and demand to search you.
How do you think the locals will respond to that?
I think they'll respond to it positively. We've had a great deal of local engagement with local people. They know why we're there. They know that our principal aim is to protect people on the Hoo Peninsula, including the residents, to make sure that we try to have this protest go off as lawfully and as peaceably as we possibly can, and also to ensure that law-abiding and lawful economic activity can continue. So we've been very, very clear about the aims of the police operation.
Given that the stop and searches will be at the discretion of the officers, how will they decide who to stop and search?
Well, they will be given parameters within which to operate, different localities. They will respond to intelligence in terms of what they're briefed about, and they will use their own discretion if they believe it's appropriate and lawful to do so.
But they don't have to have reasonable grounds, which means one would assume that, you know, there's no profiling going on, it's going to be completely random.
It won't be completely random, but they do not have to have grounds through which to justify it. They will still have to record the account, they still have to record the stop, but these are powers that have been very, very carefully considered by a senior officer and authorised because of the circumstances that we face.
I was going to say, you say that you've held back from extending the powers to the extent that you have now. Does that suggest that things are not going quite as well as you hoped they were going to?
No, we believe that things are under control. There have been some difficulties. We anticipated some difficulties. I believe, and my officers believe, the overwhelming majority of the protesters are law-abiding people there for a legitimate reason. But I've been clear on this point. We believe there is a small, hardcore of people who are prepared to use criminal tactics and criminal activity to get their point across. And this is aimed at that small hardcore.
We've been speaking to a few people, some of whom have approached us of their own free will and said, we're getting a bit fed up with this, we keep getting stops and search, we live, or at least at the very least stopped, we live nearby, people want to know why I'm going for a jog at 3 in the afternoon and things like that. What could you say to those people?
Well, we've not meant to antagonise anybody who lives locally, or indeed anybody else. These are unique times on the Hoo Peninsula. My officers have a very, very difficult and complex operation to run. The protest will be over very, very soon, by the end of the weekend. But while this is going on, we have to uphold the law, we have to make sure that people are safe, we have to make sure the protesters are safe, and I have to ensure the safety of my staff.
That's Assistant Chief Constable Gary Bowtridge talking to our Home Affairs correspondent Richard Smith. We'll be talking to Richard later after 8 o'clock. He's been on the camp yesterday just to get his idea of what's going on there. More reaction live from Kingston North after the travel. We'll be actually in the farmer, we'll be talking to the farmer whose field they are camped on. And, of course, we'll be covering the planned day of action tomorrow with bulletins from 6 o'clock in the morning. On the subject of the... There's some interesting bits in the national press about this. In The Independent today, there's a long interview with Arthur Scargill, who's at the camp, talking about... and I suppose you might think he's a slightly strange bedfellow. He supports coal being used to generate electricity, not surprisingly, as the former leader of the National Union of Coal Miners. He also says that carbon capture is the solution, although it's an untested, untried, unproven technology up to now. But he says that's the answer, and that by the time the new King's North is built, he believes that that technology will be available. And interesting, on the front page of The Guardian today, slightly tongue-in-cheek, I suspect, he challenges George Monbiot, who we spoke to on this programme a couple of days ago. He's The Guardian reporter who's at the camp as well, and he says, I challenge George Monbiot to test out which is the most dangerous fuel, coal or nuclear power. He says, Arthur Scargill says, I'm prepared to go into a room full of CO2 for 2 minutes if he's prepared to go into a room full of radiation for 2 minutes. Anyway, it's a gauntlet thrown down which is unlikely to be picked up, one suspects. Now, protesters are threatening to shut down a power station in Kent tomorrow by air, land and sea. Organisers of the climate camp near King's North have spent the week protesting at plans by the company E.ON to build a new coal-fired power plant. Thousands more people are expected to turn up for this weekend's direct action. Well, our reporter Alex Ward is on the farm where the campaigners have pitched their tents on the Hoo Peninsula. Alex.
Good morning, John. That's right. Well, I'm on Islingham Farm, and this is a sheep farm, so there are some 1,000 head of sheep and about 1,500 acres. So when I tell you that here in Wainscot at the actual farmhouse, we seem to be a million miles away from the camp, that's just a sign of how big the farm itself is. But here with me is Robert Hanks, who's the third generation of farmers to be on this land. So Robert, you've had these climate protesters pitch up on your land. They're here without permission, aren't they? They are squatting.
They are squatting, yep. They turned up unannounced last week. We first knew about it when a couple of friends rung up, but we were quite a way away from the farm at the time, so by the time we got back, they were in, they were pitched. Some of the gates were locked by them. The sheep that we did have in the field had been ushered out by them into the surrounding fields that we where the sheep already were. They actually locked some of the gates to keep other people out. We turned up. A couple of the protesters had radios. They introduced themselves, were civil and apologised for being there, etc., etc. Wanted to know if we wanted to meet up with their hierarchy, but you know, at the time we told them that they weren't welcome. They didn't have permission to be there. We were concerned about the sheep, and we were definitely concerned about if any dogs were on site. Obviously, the sheep were just in the neighbouring field, and as sheep farmers, we do have trouble with dogs, so we made it plainly clear that any dogs wouldn't be welcome.
So in the intervening week, what sort of issues have you had? I mean, you've got more than 1,000 people in one of your fields. What sort of problems has that caused you?
Since they've arrived and the sheep have been moved, it hasn't caused us major problems. The sheep have, they've just about got enough grass where they've been moved to. So, operationally, the problems haven't been that great. The field is an outlying field on the farm, so from where the actual farm and our buildings are, we don't actually have to look at the protesters every day. So, we are concerned what sort of a state the site will be left in when they all decamp and move off this weekend, but that remains to be seen. If we've been assured by them that it should be spotless, but and I've been told by local liaisons with the police and with the protesters that dustbins have been provided by the council. I believe we was also concerned about the water, because we've got water supply to the sheep up there. We were concerned that they might vandalise and damage that to get their own water, but apparently Southern Water have laid on water for them, which is an obligation they had. So we'll see what happens when they leave.
Now, people have been talking a lot about the level of police involvement, how the police are handling it. What's been your experience of working with the police, and what do you think of how much of a presence there is up there?
Yeah, we've had umpteen phone calls and face-to-face meetings with some of the liaison officers. They're on the outlying fields, and operationally we're not really that involved now, but so that, you know, the police are totally involved. I've spoke to the police at least every day, if not every other day, as they've been working out their plan, what they want to do. The police have been removing the gates from what gates there are left around the field, so that I've been told, so that they can keep access points open for the police and other emergency vehicles. It's all health and safety. We've been led to believe they need access to the site in case of emergencies and in case of health emergencies, etc., etc. So, yeah, we've been kept informed by the police, but as to the searching of everyone and all that's going on with the so-called heavy handedness, we haven't. I say we've seen it in the news, and I don't know. There's certainly a lot of police there, but they probably know what can happen in these instances. You get 1,000 protesting peacefully and having their little workshops, and then you get the other 50 that no doubt in their own minds are ready to cause some serious trouble as and when. And obviously I appreciate that the police probably know more than what we do, and or they're at least they're expecting there to be some heavy trouble.
Robert, can I just ask you, when you went up there and they'd moved into your field, did you actually ask them to leave?
When we got there, they were there setting up their big marquees. We did ask them to leave. We told them that they weren't welcome, as I say, and we were mainly concerned about the dogs. But once they were in there, there was absolutely no way that we were physically going to push them off. And as it turns out, everyone thought they were going to be nearer the power station, and we got some friends down that way. And we were concerned, and they were concerned that they might do a lot more damage to my friend's vegetable crops.
So they've obviously picked a field apart from the sheep, which they moved, just the sheep you were telling us. Yeah,
that's right. Yes.
Yeah, and they moved them quite satisfactorily, did they?
Well, I suppose so. They were moved when we arrived. Yeah. Yes.
So I suppose we're really waiting to see what the place is like when they move out, isn't it? That's the big thing now.
Yeah, that's what we're concerned about. Exactly. I mean, obviously. We don't think there should be any damage, just because it's a boundary fence, so they shouldn't have any cause to damage any of the boundary fence. But obviously, at the moment, the gates have been removed. We understand they're digging some small holes because they've all got these eco fires for cooking and all that sort of thing. And the rubbish, all I can say is that we're concerned, but we'll see what happens on Sunday.
OK, Robert and Alex, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning. That is Robert Hanks. He's the farmer where the climate camp, isn't it, is pitched on in one of his fields, quite away from his farmhouse, as you heard. But there, without permission, that's the point we should make, really.